This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Is a shining example of what every NFL prospect should strive to achieve. This guy was an 8-time team captain, but he only played in 4 games last year because he suffered a season-ending shoulder injury, should I say, and he had to have surgery. Now, I've told you guys, over 30, don't want him. Coming off an injury, don't want him. I really like David Andrews, but because of the injury, Mike, and again, surgery, and I'm not saying that even the Falcons are interested, but if you were looking for a veteran center who knows what he's doing, this guy's 32 years old and started 121 games of his 124-game career. He's on the field, but last year he wasn't.
Yeah, and you know what's so funny about him? When you go back and you look at his career, undrafted free agent. See, this is where we get into previous regime. This isn't on Terry. This is on Dimitroff.
Sure.
You might want to go, you know, take a look at Georgia. But anyway, that's a guy that had an amazing career in the NFL. Kind of like Ronji Jesse Tuggle, undrafted out of Valdosta State. Yep. But from Johns Creek and went to Wesleyan. I just wonder, because there was the talk up there was considering retirement. But we'll see. I know that with the tendered offer, other teams can make an offer to Ryan Newsel. The Falcons can match it. And we'll see where that goes. But Newsel did a nice job. Now, we assume they want to bring Newsel back. That's why they tendered him. But we'll see. This is a guy, though, to your point, I just don't think that makes a lot of sense where he is in his career right now. I mean, a couple of years ago, for sure.
I agree. I know we were talking about Andrews, and it's just like...
He's such, it's a great story. He's a great dude. He's a leader on that team. But, you know, just coming off the shoulder surgery, as you said, he had to get that elected to have the surgery, and that shut it down for the year.
Yeah, I can't do it. In 2019, I guess I forgot about this, had an embolism and overcame that and came back in 2020. They don't save a whole lot of money with him. I mean, you're talking about a small number. I think it's $2.6 million they're going to save. But the Patriots are so far under the cap. Guys, they got like $93 million. Effectively under the cap, but they went hard on day one, hard in the paint, and spent a lot of money on some of the top defensive free agents. Meanwhile, as we'll get into our 4th-and-1 segment, apparently, Mike, he says he has a chance to start, and if this is true, then maybe they're bluffing us. Let's get to 4th-and-1. This hour brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. So, Mike, Kenny Pickett says that the Browns have told him he'll get a chance to compete to be QB1 in 2025.
Bless your heart. Yeah, well, I mean, maybe, just maybe. Haven't we all seen enough of Kenny Pickett with better talent?
He's not that good.
He was any other draft, I don't know. The Steelers needed a quarterback. Obviously, they probably waited too long. They should have gone sooner when Big Ben was winding it down. They had a chance to scout this guy. He was playing in their building, and he was just so mediocre. So here's a great trivia question, as we said, taking the knee for the victory formation for the Super Bowl when they had the victory formation and Jalen Hurts got the curtain call. I don't know. I mean, yeah, he'll compete. Whoever else they bring in there, I mean – maybe the Browns told him to say that, so it puts pressure on the Falcons to do something.
Yeah.
These mind games, if you believe the BS about Cleveland and Falcons playing mind games over Kirk Cousins, and will we release him or won't we? Or will they trade for him or won't they? Do they want him or don't they?
It's all a game. You're right. And look, I don't know if Kenny Pickett is actually telling the truth, but he said, I do expect them to sign a veteran at some point. You think?
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that he's been told, yeah, you're going to come in and compete to be QB1, I don't buy that.
Right.
Either way, that's something that's going on. Yesterday, we got into this conversation with Turtle up there in Hiram at Buffalo's Cafe about what Ryan Clark had been saying in regards to Aaron Rodgers. Now, you talked about the picture that's out there.
Right.
This is going to be on a lot of memes, by the way, with Aaron on the beach and the towel wrapped around him as he contemplates his future.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
This is Ryan Clark on ESPN talking about what it means to bring in Rodgers if, in fact, the Steelers decide to do it.
Do you know what Scar's name was before Scar?
I don't.
It was Taka. Do you know what Taka meant?
No.
Garbage. Wasted. That's exactly what could happen if you bring Aaron Rodgers in there. You can have a wasted season. You can have a garbage season. You can have a locker room that has to adjust to not only Aaron Rodgers, but Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers trying to figure out who's going to win the battle of what they want the offense to be.
There you go, Ryan, not a fan of one Aaron Rodgers and Ryan protecting his Steeler brand.
Yes, he is. Is he wrong, though?
I mean, you look statistically, if you didn't know what the Jets finished as far as a record, you'd say Aaron Rodgers for a guy who's his age had a nice season.
Pretty good.
You know, but then you look back at the games where, you know, you needed him to win games or do some of that Aaron Rodgers mojo stuff that just didn't happen. I mean, he was coming off the Achilles, you know, but almost 2 months earlier than what Kirk Cousins was dealing with. I mean, like I said, the Jets, that was such an inexplicable season because we debated it all last year. On paper, they got a lot of studs on both sides of the ball, and it just never materialized.
Clark wasn't done there, Mike. When asked about whether he would trade Christian McCaffrey, because again, look at what the 49ers have done. They've traded Debo. They're making moves. He says, would I trade him? Listen to this.
I would absolutely trade Christian McCaffrey, and I would try to get as much as I could possibly get for him. When you look at what Kyle Shanahan has been able to do, it's run the football. And I know we thought last year they missed some of the things with the versatility of Christian McCaffrey, but when you trade Juszczyk, you let some of that versatility go. You let some of the things you can do formationally go. And so why not change your entire philosophy from thinking about Christian McCaffrey as this Swiss Army knife, getting pieces for him and allowing guys like Ricky Pearsall to touch the football more with running the football and doing different things on quick screens, adding other players based on the assets that you can get for him. Also understanding you're looking for more available players than Christian McCaffrey was last year. You had a good stretch with him. You took your run at the Super Bowl.
And I get what he's saying about Pearsall. You can kind of do some of the stuff Debo did.
Yep.
Of course, Debo is now on the Commanders. But that offense, sorry, with all due respect, no Christian McCaffrey, no Debo, doesn't function.
They're done.
Then you might as well just fold up your tents and get ready to go pick first next year.
Yeah, but you know what he's saying?
With Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy's an average quarterback. You need to have Christian McCaffrey. But unfortunately, Christian McCaffrey breaks down now.
Well, so this is where I agree with
Ryan. I see both sides of it, but
I think when you talk about, have you seen the best of McCaffrey?
Yes.
Then you trade him.
But you're prepared for what you're going to have.
That's it. Right. But the other side of that is he's saying Kyle Shanahan has had multiple backs that he's dealt with and made them 1,000-yard rushers.
That's also true. He's a guy that can plug almost anybody in there and get results.
So
he did it here. He does it in San Fran.
So do what's best, and that is best years behind him. We're going to trade him, and we'll find another running back that nobody knows about, and this guy will be great in this particular scheme. I think he's on to something there. I don't think they'll do it. It's Dukes and Bell. It is our 4th-and-1 segment. We played this yesterday. I do want to play it for you because I know Falcon fans, some of you heard it, some of you did not, but Grady addressed the media yesterday as he was introduced as a Chicago Bear. I know.
In this new chapter of my life, I'm so happy to be here in a great city like Chicago. An organization who has a history of just being, you know, just dominant defense, legendary players, Hall of Famers. You know, I'm watching from afar, you know, be able to walk in the building as associated with Walter Payton. I've been a 2-time Walter Payton Man of the Year Award nominee. I've met his family a couple of times. So the pride that I have in this place, I didn't even know it really lived into me until I walked into the building. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just so fired up. Sorry, y'all.
I hate Grady.
Again, I never said that.
Manipsy.
Wow.
Again, for people who are new to the show.
Unbelievable.
I say when I talk about Grady being a bad fit in a 3-4 and, you know, at some point you may have to cut him. you in your radio hear me say, I hate Grady. See, that was the context. See, Orrin is playing this out of context.
So you really never said this?
No, I said it explaining.
I hate Grady.
It goes out of my mouth, into the microphone, up to the antenna, out to your car.
That sounds like you, though, Mike.
But I'm saying that's what people hear me say, I hate Grady.
So how did he come up with your voice to say that?
No, I was saying people hear that when I'm saying that.
If you said it subconsciously.
No. You're doing the same thing to listeners.
I would not be able to hear your voice say exactly what you said.
I hate Grady.
I never said it. That's completely out of context. We love Grady, and now they're going to love him in Chicago, provided he has anything left in the tank coming off the ACL injury and the fact that he had one of his worst years as a Falcon.
Why are you taking shots?
That's not a shot.
Why are you taking shots? You do hate Grady.
That is analysis.
You do hate Grady.
I love Grady.
You just took a shot
all over again.
I love Grady. I'm just saying we told you they were going to cut Grady.
You just said, did you just hear what he said? He's like, yeah, he's going to do great in Chicago if he still has anything left in the tank.
He's got a Giants. He's got Andre the Giant next to him. He's got Montez Sweat. He should have success. He's better served in a 4-3. I've said that for years.
I hate Grady.
I never said
I think
like
I'm
that.
Starting to believe that.
Will you stop it?
404-726-0929.
And he's excited to be where he's wanted. Anyone can understand that.
Anything else to say negative about him?
How is that negative?
That's not. But I'm just saying, I love how you pull the double entendre there.
That's not. See, now you're interpreting in your own way. You're putting your own stamp on my words.
Sir, is that your voice on this recording?
I hate Grady.
That recording, sir, is that your voice?
The context is not explained when you hear somebody hear that. I said, when I talk about the things I've always felt, he wasn't a good fit since we moved to a 3-4, and you guys take that as,
I hate
Thank
Grady.
You.
If you were on the stand right now, it'd be hard to defend that. So I'm like, sir, is that your voice?
I need to hear the entire conversation. No.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
if I had like Bruce Cutler, John Gotti's lawyer, he used to get, we got to hear the entire tape.
Yes.
Remember
yes,
John goes, we're right, going to whack. We're going to whack who? I don't know who he's talking about.
Yes, I don't know what he's talking about.
Maybe he's going to go whack a hamburger. He's very hungry.
Is that not your voice?
Yes. I hate Grady.
404-726-0929.
You just need one juror to believe it, Carl. One juror.
No, it's true. Seth Emerson's going to join us, guys. He covers the Dogs for The Athletic. Yesterday was a big day. And speaking of the Dogs, the Falcons were in full force. And we know that the Falcons have not selected a Bulldog in the first round or the second round ever. Is that going to change this year? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know, Mike. And just because they had a bunch of folks there, including, you know, people on the offensive side of the football, does it change anything? No, I just think they were covering all the angles, Mike. You know, here's what I think happened yesterday. And look, the Falcons can say whatever they want. I don't think that they wanted anybody saying they were not represented the way that they needed to be. Now, was it overkill? Mike, did they need 50, all the folks that were there? What did Rusty tell us? 20 guys, 15 guys
yeah,
there, whatever
I mean,
it was?
The nearest, the next largest staff that went to Athens was 5 guys from Minnesota.
So did we need all that?
No, look, but this is why, you see, when we talk about, there's elements of the fan base. Well, they had 22 people at Georgia. Wow. I mean, to me, it means nothing. I mean, what can 22 people possibly do? Yes, it's overkill. It's window dressing, just like it was to say, we can talk to 45 guys, and we're only talking to defensive players at the combine.
Because they better be.
After 4 years of just miserable football here, or mediocre football, however you define it, the fan base is upset.
Did you blame Grady for that?
Well, I mean,
I hate Grady.
He was on a bad defense. But,
see?
But this is, I mean,
see? I told you.
When your defense is this bad, I just don't think you can say someone is irreplaceable.
Sir, I think that's your
voice. I mean, I've actually got Terry's back on that move. That's what was so ironic. I finally got guys to agree with the general manager's not good at his job. But ironically, I'm defending the general manager for doing his job. Anyway.
I'm dying.
All right. I hate Grady.
Seth Emerson. We talk Dogs next. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We got Post Malone tickets for you as well. Stay tuned. We'll give you a chance to win those. Yeah, man, no man's on the way in 20 minutes, but let's talk to Seth Emerson. Covers the Dogs for The Athletic. We love his work. And Seth, yesterday was pro day. Let's start there. The draft is April 24th through the 26th in Green Bay. Mike and I were just talking about how many folks were there from Flowery Branch and how well represented they were to take a look at all of the Dogs. You ever seen anything like that before? And you've been covering the Dogs a long time.
I didn't personally count how many were there. I Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot and some other Falcons people were pretty conspicuous. Whether that translates to actually picking a bunch of Georgia players, we'll see. Best quote, and I know he's, probably seeing it from somewhere, but was Warren Brinson, Georgia defensive lineman. They asked him, would you want to be picked by the Falcons? And instead of giving the usual, I just want to go anywhere or whatever, he was like, oh, yeah, they should pick us. Mm-hmm. They should pick me. They should pick all Georgia players. Look at the Eagles. You want to stop Mahomes? Pick a bunch of Georgia players.
Seth Emerson's with us, guys, here talking about the Dogs. I know the big debate, and I'm not trying to make you to be an NFL talent evaluator, Seth, but do you feel that who's going to have the higher upside, Jalen Walker or Mykel Williams? Because Falcons specific, we want that ultimate pass rusher, but these guys seem to be able to do almost everything you ask of them defensively.
Yeah, Williams is an edge guy, whether he'll be an outside linebacker or defensive end. It probably depends on the system and who takes him. I don't think we saw conclusively at Georgia that he would be better at one or the other. Walker, they really uncorked him. He's just a football player. He's just a get him in a position on any particular play to go get the ball. And, it's just going to depend on who you want there. I don't have any sense that one or the other is going to be definitely better. I think they both have a chance to be really good players.
Seth, were you surprised that Kirby did not make any changes with his staff? And if so, why? Why do you think he stayed loyal to the guys that are there, despite the fact that the offense certainly didn't look the way we thought it should have? All the drops. I mean, there were a lot of inconsistencies that could have easily led to him making changes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more that I'm surprised the staff stayed intact, because it's the first time that's happened in the Kirby era. And most of the time it's because when you're as successful as Georgia has been, you lose coaches. They get promoted. But there's been other times that, you know, he's made a change. He made a change with James Coley after 1 year as OC. He fired Tracy Rocker after his first year. There's been at least one assistant I can remember off the top of my head that, like, after 1 year, he permitted Miami to hire him. That was Jameel Adai. And I thought that could happen with a guy or two off of this year's staff. But, you know, it was almost kind of a caught-in-between thing where they didn't have the kind of year where their assistants were in demand. So you didn't lose anybody. Like, you know, there were a few. I heard that they came after a few, but those were the ones that you'd expect people to come after. Trey Scott, I think someone comes after him every year, and they've been lucky to hold on to him for as long as they have. But there were others that, you know, he could have made the call. But as I wrote about this Tuesday, like, look, you know, if everyone that wants Mike Bobo and Stacey Searle's gone, I understand it off of just last year, but you can't just look at last year. Like, Bobo has a long track record beyond just last year. He was a finalist for the Broyles Award his first season back at Georgia. He was a finalist for the Broyles Award his last season of his first stint at Georgia in 2014. Mm-hmm. Stacey Searles had Georgia's line as a finalist for the Joe Moore Award for the best O-line in the country his first 2 years of his second go-round here. But based on what happened last year, there were a lot of people who had just preconceived, notions, or they preconceived dislike of both of those hires, that the way they played last year made them go, see?
Yeah.
I do think that if next year is not up to Georgia standards, then there'll be changes. But we also got to remember, They won the SEC championship. They were in the quarterfinals of the college football playoff, and obviously that game itself was a thud for Georgia, but the game was also decided by like about a minute and a half of game action where the score swung from 3-3 to 20-3. So I think Kirby and people around the program are not looking at last year as quite the disaster that a lot of fans are.
Right. I mean, you go back, you look at his time with Nick Saban after Kirby left. I mean, his worst season would be a trip to the Citrus Bowl, being the second place team in the Western Division. So if this is the worst Kirby can do since 2016, it's not too shabby. But as you said, Seth Emerson joined us, the bar has been so raised, expectations are through the roof. It just seems like you've missed that stud, like, you know, Jalen Carter or Jordan Davis, you know, or that Trayvon Walker, that animal in the middle. You know, we got tons of stars on defense, but it seems like that was one of the elements missing. And you just touched on it. The offensive line just wasn't good.
The trenches, and Kirby has said before that the main thing he learned from Nick Saban was you want to build the team along the lines of scrimmage, and both of those were not up to par last year, and it kind of had a domino effect. And they can't play the way they want to on defense when they're not stopping the other team consistently on the run, and that was reflected last year, and they've got to get better there. They're hoping that Jordan Hall can step up. Elijah Griffin, who's more of a defensive lineman, he's not a nose tackle, but he's a five-star freshman that's kind of just, you know, coming in here, and people aren't talking about him much because they're so used to Georgia having five-star defensive players. But he's someone who could have a early impact. So they're hopeful there, but obviously they need a little bit more than just hope.
Seth, what do you think? I know spring practices have just gotten underway as we talked to Seth Emerson here on the show. But what do you think about Gunnar Stockton? And Kirby has been very positive, obviously, about his leadership and how he takes on things and, you know, what he's shown them. But as we talk about a spring competition, do you believe that will be the case with Puglisi, or you just think Gunnar Stockton will be the guy?
I mean, I never say never, but I've stopped. I'm preparing to file a column after I do viewing of practice here in a few minutes that says that from everything that I've seen and heard and sensed that this is becoming Gunnar Stockton's team. The offense, but, you know, sort of the team in general, because you kind of gravitate around your quarterback in general. And, you know, that could change, but Ryan Puglisi's behind. He's 2 years less experienced in this system than Gunnar Stockton. He has a game and a half less of game experience. And Puglisi also didn't really play much last spring. Like, he got an injury halfway through spring practice, or he got, I think it was actually from a high school injury, and they shut him down. He didn't play in G-Day. So it just seems like this is Gunnar Stockton's job. And it was interesting that Kirby, when he was asked about Gunnar on Tuesday, didn't say the kind of stuff like, oh, you know, he's competition. We've got four good quarterbacks. We feel good about all of them, blah, blah, blah. No, he talked about Gunnar and extolled his virtues as a leader and how the guys gravitate towards him and all that. And, you know, I mean, they're going to prepare Puglisi to be the backup, to be literally to have to go in if Stockton gets hurt, or if Stockton just really struggles between now and, you know, the preseason. They're going to look in the portal in the spring window if an experienced quarterback becomes available, but they tried for that in the winter one and couldn't land one. So you'll never say never, but I think this is Gunnar Stockton's job.
It is Seth Emerson with his guys talking dogs. Speaking of the dogs, Kirby came on with the Steakhouse along with Rusty Manziel. We're going to replay that for you at 5:20, guys. Strong arm story. So if you're a dog fan, stay tuned for that. You think Kirby, if he had his druthers, would just squash G-Day? I know Josh Brooks says, you know, I think fans enjoy it, Seth, but do you think that G-Day's days are numbered?
The way Kirby talked about it, the way he answered the question earlier this week surprised me. Look, Kirby is 93K day guy.
Right.
Like, that was the genesis of really lifting off his program. His tenure was filling it up for the spring game and, you know, using it as something that pulled in recruits like DeAndre Swift and some others said that they chose Georgia after being there for that experience. But times change, and with other teams ditching their spring game, I think Kirby's watching the landscape and trying to get a sense of it to figure it out, whether it's the best thing. I think the stated reason by a lot of coaches to not do it anymore is a little bit of obfuscation.
Right.
It's not, it's transfer portal related, but it's not that they're worried about tampering, about other coaches, you know, noticing players in their spring game and scouting it and going after them. Like, everyone knows who everyone has. They know all these players already. No, there's no, like, surprises. It's not that. The theory I've heard that makes the most sense is that when you have one public spring game where everybody's in the stands and it's on television, whatever, that's the most important game. And if you don't start in that game, if you don't play a lot in that game, then you know that you think that you are not in that team's plans and you get in the portal. So by getting rid of a public scrimmage like that, a public spring game, and just having three scrimmages, you can kind of spread the playing time around those three scrimmages, spread the starts around them, and you can kind of mitigate the number of your players that kind of have their feelings hurt about where they think they are on the depth chart.
Last thing, the reinstatement of Kobe Young, what's it mean?
I mean, it was going to happen. They took it carefully. It is a big help for them on the field. You pair him with Noah Thomas. Those are two guys who are ex receivers, that outside spot that after Colby Young's suspension following the fifth game last year, Carson Beck didn't have that anymore. They lost Ra-Ra Thomas over the summer to obviously, you know, the domestic violence second arrest, and they dismissed him there. Then they lost Colby Young after his arrest in game five. So those were two losses that were unanticipated, and you couldn't go in the portal and replace them. They didn't really have anybody on the roster that, you know, I mean, maybe Nitro Tuggle could have done that, but he was a freshman, a true freshman. So Dylan Bell played that a lot. And, you know, then you move Arian Smith there, and, you know, he was probably better in the slot anyway. And it was just unwieldy. Now, by having Noah Thomas and Colby Young, Dylan Bell goes to more natural position at flanker. You have Zach Branch, the transfer, who's at the slot. You can slot in other younger receivers, guys like London Humphreys, who they're still hoping to develop. You give them, you know, a chance to play more natural positions. And they're hoping they're giving Gunnar Stockton in Colby Young and Noah Thomas, a couple guys that, you know, you can, they're big targets for third downs,
right,
or for red zone kind of stuff that Carson Beck didn't have after Colby Young was suspended last year.
Great stuff. Seth Emerson, appreciate you. As always, looking forward to reading his stuff in The Athletic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we got more to get to. Interesting stuff with the Dogs. You'll hear Kirby, as Mike mentioned, in the 5 o'clock hour. But coming up next, we got Yeah Man, No Man on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bring the heat, me. Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Appreciate Seth Emerson stopping by the show.
Sure sounds like Kirby wants to kill G-Day.
It does. I mean, look, and I was
not alone
sitting here a month or so ago.
You really think I'm
I know you're not, Kirby. But I was sitting here a month ago going, Kirby doesn't give a damn about people trying to poach his players, which I still don't think he cares because they pay
right
what they need to pay, and I think that's his least concern. I just don't know, and this is what Seth was alluding to before we get to Turtle, does it still serve the purpose in which it served when he got the job 10 years ago? Mm. And as I always say, things do change, and 10 years ago is a long time, and if you're still thinking, all right, this serves the same purpose, things change in every business. And so I don't know, Mike. I mean, maybe it doesn't, and you can still get the work in you need to get. I still just think your fan base and your alums, I'm telling you, this is something I've always looked forward to because it gives you a chance to get the new faces
right,
and the guys that they've been touting as the next group that's coming along. You get a chance to at least see them.
But what happens in the transfer portal? I mean, a guy, you don't have great numbers in your spring games, and then Coach X calls and goes, looks like they're not using you out there in Athens, buddy boy. Come over here to Big State.
We're going
to
get
hey, partner. We got some NIL for you there, bro. But, I mean, as far as the fans and as far as Georgia fan engagement, according to the University of Georgia, 2 years ago, it was 54,458, certainly respectable.
Yep.
Last year, it was 55,101 fans at Sanford Stadium. And, again, in some of these years, we've had construction and work and, you know, not sure, as easy to get in and out. So I think that you mentioned it, 93K Day was a moment in time. And it was the expectations were true. And I'm so glad that you and I and everybody else, we were at an amazing time being on the field. It was special to look up and see that, you know, on a hot spring day. But I just think, you know, the fans want to see it. And I think, you know, if you're a big boy program, you don't get intimidated by this. But, I mean, but again, Kirby does everything with a purpose. And if he feels it advances his game plan better off not having the fans out there to watch his team, then he won't do it anymore.
By the way, we're not telling you there won't be a spring game this year. There is.
There is. It's on.
We're just saying, right, moving forward, this is something
he's addressed. Other schools, as we said. Now, but again, as I said about Nebraska crying about losing five guys, get better NIL.
Yeah.
Pass the hat.
Well, it's kind of weak. I just think it's a weak excuse. Right. I do. All right, more on this to come. You'll hear from Kirby coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as he stopped by the steakhouse. Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on, my man?
Well, I think we may have seen the other side of it, and I'm talking about NIL. Coleman Hawkins is a star player at Kansas State who was a transfer,
okay,
and he apparently got a big old fat check to come and play. $2 million is what's being reported that he got to go play for Kansas State. Well, they lost to Baylor and effectively had their season come to a crashing halt. Nothing went the way it was supposed to, and Coleman Hawkins did not live up to the hype in terms of getting the team where he was supposed to. He was interviewed last night, And when you hear his response, what I want to know is, yeah, man, no, man, is the hype and the expectations of getting this NIL money starting to cave in a little bit on some of these athletes?
These guys haven't experienced some of the things I've experienced. And, you know, I really wanted to come in and impact the program. I'm sorry for crying.
What's he crying for?
Okay, so they lost, right?
Yeah, but he's basically saying that I was supposed to come in here and be Superman.
So why don't you come back?
And I let everybody come
back.
Down.
Come back, make another $2 million, and come back and take us where you're supposed to take us this year. Yeah, like young man's raw emotion. Nothing wrong with that. You know, I mean, I was going to be careful too because the mental health side of things. We don't want people to say we're bullying the young man, Carl. But yeah, okay, dude, you got paid $2 million. You didn't bring home the bacon. See you in the NBA draft.
Yeah, I just.
Come back. If you're that upset, come back then.
I'm still lost. Why is he acting this way?
So this clip was about 2.5 minutes long. I edited it down.
Okay. Give me full scope.
Is there more blubbering?
So he's the way he was in the beginning right there, that's how he is for it doesn't stop.
Okay.
He is crying like that the entire time.
So why should we think that this NIL stuff is starting to affect
why
him?
Should I care?
Because athletes of this generation in this age are putting a lot of pressure on themselves to perform, rightfully so, at the expectation of getting a $2 million contract, essentially, to come play for the team. That's what he was saying. He was saying he felt like he let down the fans, he let down the coaching staff.
I appreciate his honesty.
Yeah, he let everybody down because he knew he was brought here for a $2 million check to be the man.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes total sense. Okay. Are they going to take back any of the money?
No, Carl.
Okay.
That would be no.
Is he going to give a rebate? You know, I came in to do a job, and I'm going to give $1 million back.
He's not.
What's that?
He's not. He's not.
No, I'm going to give $1 million back.
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, with all due respect, if the NBA didn't have a rule in place with the players union, if he was that good, he could have gone right out of high school like they used to.
One year
and
of college.
He'd have pressure. Look, the whole system sucks. We get it. You wish the guy stayed for 2 or 3 years. Better for him, better for college ball, better for the pro product.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what? Look, you got paid $2 million. It didn't pan out.
Guys are going to the G League. They're doing different. They're going overseas for a year. And then they're entering into the draft. Here's where I'm at, though. The thing that bugs me about NIL, and this is not specifically to him, but you're paying this money. Some of these guys are proven, but they're not necessarily superstars at the other programs that they come from. They've just been offered more money. And then the high school kids are getting this money, and they haven't played a down. They haven't hit a jumper. They haven't hit a game winner. And so you're paying for what the NFL used to do in the NFL draft, which is what? You're paying for what you think they're going to be, not what they are. And that's the fundamental problem with NIL. Right. It's not get here, prove yourself, and then we pay you accordingly. It is, what can I lure you with to come, even if we don't win, which is the situation that this young man's in. So that is the fundamental issue, Mike, that we talk about guardrails and how this thing needs to be changed. I'm not saying kids shouldn't get paid, but we've gone way too far to this side, and now you've got a situation where, again, there's a bidding war for some of these players that they haven't done anything. And then they get in these situations, and the kid loses, and his team loses, and now he's feeling all this pressure. Whatever. I'm not overly excited about the idea that this kid is crying, and I get it. His teammates, he let his team down, blah, blah, blah. But and if he's giving some money back, then we can have a conversation. Yeah. But he's not.
Well, I think Mike's on to something. If Arch Manning doesn't win the SEC next year, he has to give back 30%.
Correct.
See, that would be interesting if you had that in the contract, but that's not the way it works. So, yeah, I saw somebody tweeted today about sports, and it was a photo of the 1980s some Orange Bowl, and he's like, I want the 80s back. I go, well, in some areas, yes. It's, others,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, I agree. Some things, maybe.
Some things, yes. Others, no.
Back when you gathered around the TV at noon for the kickoff. Yeah. Yes. All right. An old cliche in the NBA is coming home to roost. Nick Starr, Mikal Bridges, who the team traded 5 first-round picks for in the offseason, spoke to the media and talked about playing for Tom Thibodeau. Quote, sometimes it's not fun on the body.
Soft.
You'll want that as a coach, but we also talked to him knowing a little bit that we've got a good enough team to where our bench guys can come in and we don't need to play 48 or 47.
He's making all this money and he's crying. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, we all know that Thibodeau does run you ragged, and there are folks who say that, you know, Thibodeau will never win an NBA championship because his guys are in no shape to make a run in April and May because he's drained it all out of them.
Before Brunson got hurt, like three of their five starters led the NBA in like total minutes played this year.
Right. Kind of like what Billy Martin used to do with his pitching staff, you know, with the A's back in the day.
This is Pat Riley.
Joakim Noah. Right. Joakim Noah is walking around like he's 80 and he's not 40 yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Riley did this. I mean, and I say that. What we're telling you.
Like six guys to start.
Full practices.
Yeah.
And just relentless in their downtime that, you know, by the time you get to games, man, you're exhausted. What is he saying here? That he doesn't want to play for Tibbs anymore?
I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying that, yo, we got to make it to the end of the season here. Yeah. And if you keep playing me,
gotcha.
He's playing 37 and a half minutes a night. He's like, I'm not going to make it, man. Because he's also, guys like that and other guys that they have on their team, like OG Anunoby, they're tasked with being two-way players every single night. They got to bust it on defense the same way they got to bust it on offense.
Chris, what kind of season is he having?
I mean, not great.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, but you when you sign, if you're a free agent and you sign with the Knicks and Thibodeau, if you get traded, it's different. But if you sign with the Knicks,
you know
what you're signing up for. I mean, Thibodeau's rep is league wide. You're gonna hurt. All I feel is burning.
Yeah, I just and my point is they thought they were getting a lot more in this player with what they gave up, which is you laid out the trade.
Right.
They haven't gotten it.
No, they traded five first round picks. So it'll be interesting. Again, without Brunson, you know, they could be sliding down to where the Hawks are.
Yeah, but Knicks, I don't think, I mean, they'd really have to blow it for the Bucks to catch him for three. But it is interesting, yeah, because right now they're five games behind the Celtics and five games ahead of the Bucks in the three spot.
Yeah. Bucks are playing pretty well, though. We shall see. All right, one more quick one before we get out of here. Bill Simmons said on the latest episode of his podcast that the Jacksonville Jaguars ownership is too invested in wrestling and not enough in football.
Oh.
And that's why things like Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson haven't worked out, because they haven't been nurtured the way that they need to be. Yeah, man, no man. Ooh.
Well, there was a story that Tony Khan, he's the son of Shad Khan, he's the one who's involved in the wrestling.
Yeah, league. AEW.
Right. But there was talk that he would pop off on social media about players in the past, and I think they stifled that. Mm. So I don't know if that's necessarily the situation now. I don't know if he's a meddler with his dad's football team. I can't speak to that, but remember there was a story where he was basically getting in a war of words with some players over contracts a couple years ago.
Don't most of these owners, though, have multiple businesses?
I don't think in the same way that AEW is a business, though.
Like, explain. Like what?
Like AEW is a front-facing media. They're legitimately involved. They're on TV.
Yeah.
They're doing skits. Like, they're legitimately involved in it.
I don't know if I agree. Look, Mike, my point is,
like, Tony Khan showed up in a recent episode in a fake neck brace to do a skit.
He's
like,
pulling the Vince McMahon
playbook, yes, 101.
Exactly.
Right.
He's just involved.
He's the chairman of True Media Networks. That's the son.
Okay. So
it's still real to me, damn
it. You betcha.
Here's what I'm getting to. Arthur Blank has seven or eight businesses. Maybe you guys don't know.
Right.
You wouldn't know what else he has his hands in, and he's managing all of that while trying to maintain and put together a good football team. Here's where they've gone wrong, and this is why I disagree. They haven't hired the right football people. Mike, they just changed all of their front office. They brought in Tony Boselli to
be the
make
face.
The fan base feel good about the direction of the football team. Boselli ever been a GM? Boselli ever been a player personnel guy?
By the way, the guy that they did hire to be GM, he's like 34.
Correct.
Years old.
Right. And it took forever for them to hire him.
It took them missing out on some other coaches to get that deal done.
They haven't hired the right people.
Yeah, Shad Khan, he's got the bumper business, motor vehicle components. Of course, he owns the Jags. He owns Fulham over in the UK in the Premier League. Yeah, Elite Wrestling, a couple other smaller companies. But, you know, like every other billionaire, he's got his toes in a lot of water.
Yeah, and that's why I don't just – look, we always put it on the owner. Got to hire the right football people. The Eagles' ownership looks great. You know why? Howie Roseman. It's the Chiefs ownership, the Hunt family looks great. You know why? Brett Veach.
He also owns a couple of Four Seasons.
See, there you go. I mean, like, I don't think it's just the fact that they have all this other entertainment.
I guess he gets extra mints on the pillow when he goes. But, I mean, either way, but your dad just doesn't know how to run a football team. Your football team's a joke. So that's why Bill Simmons will pop off on the wrestling component.
And you know why the Atlanta Falcons are run great? Because we got the best backup quarterback in the league. Here he goes.
We don't get caught up in resulting with the Falcons either.
I forgot to play quarterback.
Yeah.
We don't ever get caught up into this term, which is called resulting.
No, we don't like really result here in Atlanta other than, you know, Georgia, areas of Georgia and the Braves.
All right, speaking of Georgia, we're going to talk some dogs coming up. Kirby sets the tone for the season. We'll tell you what he said. You'll hear him on the Steakhouse coming up at 5:20. He stopped by the show earlier today. Joe Patrick's on the way in the 4 o'clock hour. Lots in store. Stay there.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.